Now, Fiona Patten's journey to Parliament has been nothing if not eventful. She's had a heap of jobs. She's been a fashion designer, a sex worker, anti-censorship activist, HIV/AIDS educator, CEO of Australia's National Adult Industry Association, and the founder of Reason, which was formerly known as the Sex Party, as well as a member of Parliament. And now she can add author to that list too. Her new memoir is called Sex, Drugs and the Electoral Roll, which just makes me laugh every single time. And we are lucky enough that she joins us on the line now. Fiona, thanks for chatting to us this morning.
Yeah, good morning, Tess.
That is an impressive resume you've got there. I mean, is it fair to ask what your favourite job has been so far?
Look, I think being a Member of Parliament certainly has been the most challenging, but at this stage, I think almost the most interesting, just because of the diversity and the people that you get to meet. But yeah, it's been a pretty fun journey along the way.
And last year, the Sex Party had a name change, now going by the Reason Party. What was the catalyst behind the name change?
Yeah, it was a really difficult decision, and I'm actually standing at a train station trying to explain it to people, to commuters this morning. But we found in 2016 at the federal election, we had hoped that our vote would have increased given the work that I'd done on assisted dying, on drug law reform and a whole range of issues. And it just didn't move. And we just kept getting the message from people saying, love what you're doing, change your name. Love what you're doing, change your name. And I think while the Sex Party really was who we were and what we needed to be in 2010, I think in 2018 we've grown up, and if we want to be a serious contender for the centre of politics and grow that centre base, then I think level heads said that we had to get reasonable, and Reason was the name that that came out of the hundreds that were suggested.
I suppose people do as well occasionally have a bit of a problem with the word sex as well, so that might have not given necessarily the best impression.
Well, that's right, and it's been really interesting because we're leading up into an election in Victoria. It's been really interesting. You know, I never minded wearing a bright yellow T-shirt with the word sex emblazoned across my chest written in red. In fact, I just thought I was really famous. It's just that people were looking at my T-shirt. But it's been interesting the calibre of candidates that Reason has attracted, and it was quite different to the people that were, I guess, brave enough to put their hand up for sex. And it's actually broadened our opportunities and broadened the range of people who are willing to stand up and put their hand up to have a go in Parliament, which diversity is sorely needed, not just in our state parliaments, but federally as well, as has been discussed for over many years.
And one thing I noticed as well, sort of skimming through your book, you said that you believe you were the first public figure to call for a royal commission into child sex abuse by the clergy, which is a massive move because, you know, we've seen it all sort of come apart now that we do actually have a royal commission. But could you tell us a bit more about that?
Yeah, look, this was, it was actually probably one of the most frightening parts of my life. I mean, not frightening, But, you know, we actually received death threats when we published a small paperback called Hypocrites. And what we did is we've got some researchers to collate all of the child sex offence prosecutions that had occurred in Australia. And this was just the prosecutions. And what we found from that was that 90% of them had come from religious-based organisations. So in making our in the preamble to that publication, we said there desperately needs to be a royal commission. If this was any other industry or any other group of people, there would be an outcry over these sorts of numbers. But, you know, I had people threatening my life, but also politicians saying, how very dare you, you know, how very dare you. You know, we even had Archbishop Pell saying that we did it to sell more erotic videos.
Oh, gosh.
I know. Like, how he links the two, I have no idea, and I really don't want to know. But, that was in the year 2000 that we did that. And, you know, there was lots of victims groups. There was lots of people starting to speak out, but people were still very afraid to speak out, and I understand. I mean, I had two members of Parliament say, you will never be allowed back into Parliament House, ever. We'll have you banned from the Parliament. And I was, you know, I had a parliamentary pass in those days. So it was interesting, the kind of gut-wrenching response that publication got, and not in a good way. Of course, we had lots of people come forward and talk about their experiences that obviously weren't in the book, and the Royal Commission, I think, has absolutely vindicated the campaign.
And speaking of the book as well, I guess, how long has it been in the works now?
much longer than it should have been, I understand. I'd hoped that I would write it in a year, but it took two.
It's still far more impressive than any attempt I've made at writing anything. Yeah, so you're good.
Good on your test. Yeah, it's really, the weird thing is, I don't think at any time did I actually consider that people would read it. So I don't know if there are other authors or other people who write material have that existential thing, but it's kind of quite weird when I see people, you know, posting on social media and things that they're reading the book. I'm like, oh, of course, that's why you write one. but it hadn't crossed my mind. So, yes, which is probably a good thing when you're writing a memoir, not to think about the fact that people might read it.
And people certainly are reading it. Just before I let you go, what do you hope that people take away from this book?
I hope that people take away from it that you can be political, whether it's being a member of parliament or being political in other ways. And, you know, and what we need in our society is greater diversity. We need a greater range of voices speaking out. So, you know, I said in parliament, I may be the first sex worker to have been elected into parliament, but there was thousands of clients who came before me.
yep.
I do see that there is a single trajectory for people going into politics, or for the majority of them from the major parties. You know, it's a poll site or at university, then working for a local member, working for a minister, getting pre-selection, going into parliament. And I just think people from a wider range of backgrounds will really enable us to have a better society and find better solutions to the issues that are facing us at the moment.
Well, we will leave you to your day down at the train station,
Fiona. Yeah, thanks.
Thanks so much for speaking to us.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. That was Fiona Patten. She's the founder of the Reason Party and MP for the Northern Metropolitan Region in Victoria. She's got a new book out, Sex, Drugs and the Electoral Roll, charting her rather unlikely journey from sex worker through to Member of Parliament. You can find it in all good bookstores